Welcome back to a special edition of the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with authors, exploring ideas for improving government effectiveness with John Whitley, author of the IBM Center Report, Five Actions to Improve Military Hospital Performance. So, John, what are some of the key challenges facing the military health system in adopting your recommended actions?
One of the keys I tried to emphasize in a report and talking with you is the importance of thinking about readiness and accomplishing the readiness mission. I might, if we have time here, actually go just tell a story that I heard. I was actually down at Fort Bragg last week. And we talked about the largest cause of death of potentially survivable casualties is hemorrhages, bleeding out, right? And one of the things we had to relearn at the start of the wars was the importance of tourniquets for extremity hemorrhage. But we still have the problem of people who are bleeding inside their body, inside the stomach or the abdomen or the chest area. And really the answer to that is surgery. You have to have a surgeon there who can open the patient, who can open the casualty and find the bleeding and stop the bleeding. And the quicker you get that done, we heard a lot about the golden hour, trying to get that done within an hour in Iraq and Afghanistan. And we really even want to push that. We want to get that down to minutes. If we can get that down to 19 minutes, we can actually save 95% Wow. of the patients. I mean, this is very powerful. So I was just going to tell you a story. I was down at Fort Bragg. This is I might have some of the specific details wrong, but this is an actual mission. So we've developed this capability of getting surgery within earshot of the gunfire, and this time putting it on airplanes, on either helicopters or fixed-wing airplanes. And so a mission, I believe it was last year, one of the test proof of concepts for this capability was a Ranger soldier got shot in the chest within minutes. Was transported to one of these mobile surgical units that exists in the back of an airplane. This is a tactical environment, right? So picture a surgeon in a noisy environment with people shooting with night vision goggles on.
Wow.
Patient gets there, dies when he gets to the airplane. Physiologically dead, heart has stopped. Dragged in. Now, once the plane's taking off, we might have a headlamp on, right? In a noisy airplane, bouncing all around, people yelling, no, operating with a headlamp. We had a surgeon. We're minutes now from the operation. Opens the chest, manually massages the heart to restart the heart beating, treats the patient. The patient survives. That's what our military medical providers are doing right now. Wow. That's what they're doing. Those are the kind of lives they're saving.
And how?
And so the question becomes, we built that capability from 2001 to present. It took a long time to get to where we are right now. So the issue facing DOD is how do we keep that capability and how do we take it even further? And the challenge is the status quo doesn't do that. Mm-hmm. So what these actions do, the workload that we have in the military hospitals now doesn't train that. That provider was not an active duty provider. It was a reservist who was working in a civilian trauma center in their day job. So how do we get our people, our military, in particular, our active duty military medical force, to have that level of skill and to be able to do that? That's what the actions in the report talk about. We need to define which facilities are going to be used as training platforms for that, and then we need to make the investments in those facilities to make it happen. Then we need to take the facilities that just can't get there, and it's okay. We understand that. Some of the facilities can't get there. And then we need to say, let's think about those, and let's manage those for what we want out of them. We want beneficiary care out of them. Let's fund them and equip them to the capability that they can support, whether that's inpatient or not, and then let's manage them to deliver the best quality care at the lowest possible cost we can. So the challenges are really starting to work through. That's a big cultural change, right? So a big challenge is culture. We gotta help and work with all of our colleagues to understand the importance of this change. And this change doesn't mean the end of military medicine. It means military medicine will look different, but it'll be community focused on its mission and doing things like what was done for that Ranger. When we're doing that, we're accomplishing our mission. So the challenges are we have some cultural change to get through. Then we have a lot – this is hard stuff to do. We have to work with our communities. In communities where we're going to expand our capability, we have to talk to the other hospitals and neighbors. Does this make sense? Should we do it in partnership with you? Should we do it independently? How should we do this in a way that's good for the community? It's not just good for DOD, but it's good for everybody. In the facilities and the locations where we're going to downsize, we have to talk to the communities there. This is what this is going to mean for you. We can't sustain this. We can't afford to sustain a capability that's not economically efficient, that's not clinically safe. So how are we going to redo it? And what does it mean for you? What does it mean for the community, the provider community? What does it mean for the beneficiary community? So we have a lot of analysis to do. We have a lot of communication and discussions to have. The good news is the executive branch likes to complain about the help they get from Congress. The good news in this case is Congress is there. Congress is in many ways leading the department. They've studied the problem. They've gotten a good handle on what the challenges are. We have a real opportunity here for the Congress and the department to work together to make these changes happen.
Well, I've thoroughly enjoyed this conversation, and more importantly, I enjoyed working with you to bring this report to fruition. But what prompted your interest in this area? And could you tell us about how you went about conducting the research for this report?
So I've been involved in military healthcare for a long time. I used to work in the Department of Defense on the issues. I worked, you mentioned the Military Compensation Retirement Modernization Commission. I worked for that commission as well. And so I work and I do a lot of studies and analyses in these areas. So certainly this is what I spent a good bit of my career working on. I actually go back, I mentioned before that I was in the Army. I was actually an Army medic at one time. So I have a little bit of a small amount. I don't want to overstate it. But I do have a little bit of operational experience here too as well. And it's just so important. It's when we send men and women into combat, you know, we really need to ensure that we've done everything we possibly can to make sure that if they get injured, they can and there's any possible way to save that life, to save that limb, that we can do it. So this is really important. Lives really do depend on this.
Great. John, thanks for coming in and talking to me.
Thank you. Thank you.
This has been a special edition of the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with authors, exploring ideas for improving government effectiveness with John Whitley, author of the IBM Center Report, 5 Actions to Improve Military Hospital Performance. You can download this and all Center reports at businessofgovernment.org. Be sure to join me next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.